Today's Survivor podcast is sponsored by The Great Courses. Now, I love The Great Courses because I can learn about a variety of subjects I'm interested in at my own pace anytime I want. And The Great Courses just got greater with The Great Courses Plus video learning service, which offers unlimited access to thousands of fascinating subjects. The Great Courses has nearly 5,000 video lectures in subjects like history, science, photography, cooking, and more, taught by award-winning professors and experts from National Geographic, Smithsonian, and the Culinary Institute of America. With The Great Courses Plus, you can watch as many different lectures as you want, anytime, anywhere, on your TV, laptop, tablet, or phone. And RHAP listeners get a new introductory offer to try The Great Courses Plus free for 1 month. The Great Courses are normally priced at $200 to $300 each, but you can get unlimited access to the entire Great Courses Plus library completely free for 1 month. So I know you're going to love The Great Courses Plus. Sign up now for a free 1 month trial. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/RHAP. That's thegreatcoursesplus, spell it out, .com/RHAP. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back again to talk about why the latest Survivor out of the game lost, and here with us to talk about it and wrap up the Survivor week, here he is, the great David Bloomberg. David, how are you?
Hey, bro, Chacho.
Bro Chacho. What's up, bro Chacho?
Oh, not a whole lot. How about you?
Yeah, not... No, everything's great, David. And very excited to be back talking with you as we approach the Survivor merge. How about that?
Yeah, a little earlier than I think we were expecting. I thought after they switched up the tribes, they'd at least stay with them for a couple votes.
But this is, for us, this is the earliest merge in the history of Survivor looking to happen this week, barring any sort of unforeseen shenanigans of fake merge or we didn't say merge or anything like that. This is looking to be the earliest we've ever seen the two tribes come together.
Yeah, God, I would hope they wouldn't do a fake merge.
I don't think so. I think, you know, look, we'll say, just in case there's anything that's
sneaky.
Yeah, we don't think so. No, it would be unforeseen.
Yes, yes.
But those are always the sneakiest of sneaky things, the ones that are unforeseen. Anyway, so we're heading into the merge, and we have one last pre-merge undateable person to talk about, and that would be the great Young Woo Hwang.
Yes, it would. It would. I guess we, you know, we obviously don't need to talk about Terry losing because that was not at all a loss. That was a win for himself and his family.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, though, that he appeared to be the target if his tribe had to vote at any time soon. And I suspect if that had happened, we'd be talking about him failing to scheme and plot enough. But we don't need to worry about that now.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So the hypothetical, if Terry had gone home in a tribal council there, it did seem as though while the social game was there, you feel like the scheming and plottingness of it all was lacking for Terry 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, he did help out to swing Abby, but beyond that, he seemed to be just in the I'm going to work hard camp.
Yeah, and even if he did have the social game, I'm not sure if that's necessarily what the problem was for Terry. I know he had bragged about
Terry Deeds has the social game.
But I feel like, at least with the members of Lamina back in Survivor Panama, everybody loved Terry. That, you know, he was the Joe Torre and he was, you know, universally Dan the Astronaut. They all thought he was the greatest guy. It was only the people from Kasaya that he sort of like did not get along with because they wanted him out so badly. But it seems to me, I think the strategic part of it is the lacking part at this point.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, which may be a coincidence with the person we are going to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. So, you're saying it's not that different of a story?
Well, you know, we'll find out. But, you know, over the years when I was writing this column, there were definitely some times when I had to work pretty hard to figure out why a player lost and other times when it was kind of obvious. And this one would seemingly fall into the obvious category. But, you know, there's always a nugget of interesting information in there somewhere as we figure out why Wu lost.
Okay. Of course, David has for many, many years honed the Why Survivors Lost column and subsequent podcast that we've been doing this season. Of course, you could read up on David's rules at robiswebsite.com/survivor rules. Okay, rule number one, David always says, the survivor must scheme and plot. Let's talk about this for Wu.
Well, there's not a whole lot to talk about. The first question, obviously, did he scheme and plot? The answer, hell no.
Did he at all?
Oh, man. To try to save his game life, he did. But other than that, pretty much no. And you know, this was the major reason that I didn't favor bringing him back to Survivor. You may have noticed a slight anti-Wu tenor to some of my comments earlier in the season. They were well hidden, I assure you. But, you know, he never played the strategic game in Cagayan, and I couldn't imagine he'd do it in his second chance either, and I was right. So, in his day after video, he admitted he was once again sitting back and letting the game come to him. I guess that's a nice way of putting it. But I'll stick with saying that he really didn't play the game. And he even admitted in the video that he learned this time maybe that didn't always work. And yeah, you think?
Let me just play devil's advocate here, because I do agree with you that Wu was not a schemer or a plotter really at any point in this game. But for Wu, was that the wrong plan? Because I really feel like in this game with all these big players, wasn't the right move to sort of lay back? And didn't he get targeted for being a loyal soldier of the wrong person?
Well, we will talk about that. But, you know, I think that you have to at least try to move your game in the right direction. I don't think you can sit back in a season full of all-stars and just let the game happen to you. You know, he did play harder this time, but anything would be harder than how he played in Cagayan. And when we did see him play, it was either to reject strategy from Spencer and Shireen or to save his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases, he didn't even play a pivotal role in the outcome. The decisions were made for him by others. So he just, you know, went where he thought he was supposed to go. And that led to a problem for him, which was he frequently ended up on the wrong side of the vote. Being so clueless early on put him on the wrong side of Abby. Twice. And you know what happens if you F with Abby.
I've heard somewhere.
With me, you're dead.
Well, let me just challenge you on that a little bit, because if you're saying that in the All-Star season, you can't just let the game come to you, what is the fundamental difference between the Wu doctrine and the Sandra Diaz-Twine doctrine?
I think Sandra knew where the game was. It's one thing to go with the flow and know that you're going with the flow. You are trying to get on the right side of the vote. You're succeeding. You're knowing what people are doing around you. There's a reason that Wu has a whole video of blindside faces on YouTube. He didn't know where the game was, where it was going, what was happening most of the time, unless by chance he found himself on the right side of the vote. And he just really wasn't aware of it. He even said in his 11 or 12 things you need to know from Wu on CBS.com that he went to his final tribal council feeling he was on the right side of the votes. Well, okay, he always went to the tribal council that way. And he further said that he felt he was a big part of the decision-making process to get rid of Spencer. That should have been an alarm bell right there, because I don't know when anyone has included him as a decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he was a loyal vote, but that only works if you're on the right side, if the person that you've attached yourself to is on the right side of the votes.
I do think there's exceptions to that, but I definitely understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to think of what the person listening to the podcast might be saying in response to that.
Right. And, you know, I know that there may be those who think that I am biased against Wu, and I already said, you know, I didn't want him back for second chances, but I still at least had an open mind if he would learn to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't. He did not learn to scheme and plot, and, you know, that's a big part here.
So scheming and plotting too much is certainly not an issue right now, so we can probably skip rule number two. Is that fair?
Yep, that is definitely fair.
All right, what about this idea, rule number three, is to be flexible?
Well, you know, the answer there is also no.
Oh.
He was not flexible.
No pumpkin, no.
you know, as I mentioned earlier, when Shireen and Spencer approached him early in the game, he outright rejected them without even considering what they were saying. Now, would it have been better or worse for him to go along with them? I'm not sure. That's looking a long way back. But I feel like he should have at least considered it, or at least pretended to consider it. Instead, he overall made the cardinal mistake of tying himself to one alliance and hoping or expecting it would survive. Early on, he was a shelter person, tied to the old schoolers. Nothing was going to change that in his original tribe. When he was switched to Angkor, he vowed his loyalty to Savage and Tasha, again, tying himself to a single alliance at a time when alliances were shifting with the wind all around him. In real life, that kind of loyalty may be admired, especially, you know, in the type of work that he does and the way he lives his life. But in Survivor, it only works if you're the one to whom he's being loyal. So if we again look at his day after video, he said he didn't think it was smart to vote him out because he's super loyal and could help them. But the part he didn't understand was that he was voted out in part because he's so loyal. And he was so loyal to someone the majority at the time didn't want to have another vote. So he didn't have a backup plan. He didn't have side alliances. He had loyalty, period. That's not flexibility.
Whereas in Survivor Kagiyan, he started off and he hitched his wagon to Cliff Robinson. And he was flexible then. After Cliff Robinson got voted out, then he hitched his wagon to Tony. And that was really like a magic carpet ride to go, you know, as far as they could, because Tony was the one who was able to sort of like veer, you know, the car the right way. Whereas in this game, he was like loyal to PG, maybe. And first, like, you know, sort of the old school people. And then, you know, it looked like he was loyal to PG after that, you know, first swap. And then she was gone. And I do think he was flexible enough to hitch his wagon to somebody else. But I don't know if Andrew Savage was necessarily the right person.
Well, see, and I would even say when the person that you've hitched your wagon to is voted out and you switch to someone else, that's not necessarily flexibility. That's just changing your inflexibility. You know, if your driver is gone and you have to keep going in the game and you only know one way to go, then you find another driver. You get in the back seat and let someone else drive.
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
As Missy once said.
Yes, exactly. So he latch on to someone, and then if they're not there anymore, he would latch on to someone else. But he didn't make true backup plans or side alliances. I mean, everyone else in this game, it seems, has 2, 3 or more alliances. And he had one at any given time.
All right. Well, rule number 4 is don't let your emotions control you. Did Wu let his emotions control him?
I'm going to say actually yes.
Oh.
And not from an anger perspective, but from a friendship one. So again, going to his 11 things you need to know on CBS.com, Wu admitted that he told Cass how close he was with Savage and Tasha. So he now looks back and realizes that Savage and Tasha never mentioned being allies with Cass. But he didn't pay attention to that at the time. He, in all likelihood, simply told her because they were friends from before the game, from Kagiyan and afterwards. So she and her real allies had all the information in hand. I mean, for all we know, he probably told Cass about Abby Maria's distrust in him as well. I mean, how else did they know that Abby had it in for him?
Well, I think Abby might be telling everybody herself.
That's true, but I mean, Wu apparently was divulging information without any apparent realization that it could come back to haunt him. Why? Because he was friends with Cass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of an emotional attachment that can come back to bite you.
So do you consider friendship an emotion?
Well, it's an outgrowth of emotion. You feel emotions, you know, towards your friend. And if you allow that to blind you to part of the game, then yes.
Is there any other way that Wu was emotional?
Not particularly. I mean, if you consider loyalty an emotion, I guess. But we pretty much covered the loyalty aspect of things.
Rule number 5 is pretend to be nice. Play the social game. Keep your politics and controversial beliefs to yourself. Did Wu do a good job here?
Well, I'd say Wu has probably never been anything but nice, both in life and in the game.
He's a very nice guy.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I do sometimes feel bad about, you know, saying bad things about his game, but gotta stay focused. Can't let emotions control me, you know. And, you know, the closest we ever saw him to being mad was snapping at Spencer and Shireen when they approached him earlier in the game. So, you know, overall, I can definitely say he was fine here.
Would you say that he did a bad job of pretending to be nice, like he actually was nice?
Well, if you're already that nice, I don't know how much more you can pretend. The idea is that 4 and 5 kind of work together, that you keep those emotions in control and then you pretend to be nice. He did not keep the friendly emotions in control and really was nice. So he kind of swapped those things around.
So then rule number 6 is don't be too much of a threat. How did Wu do with this?
Well, if you listen to his day after video, he thought that they voted him out because he was too much of a threat. I don't really think so, at least not on his own. Wu was a threat to become a number in the larger alliance when the merge occurs. And those numbers would have included several other challenge threats. But mostly, as we discussed, he was just a loyal number. So then, next question is, who really was the threat? Savage. And really, I'd say Savage bears a lot of the blame for Wu being voted out. Savage thought he was in control. He was solid with everyone. He just figured he could walk in there and give orders and they would immediately be followed. But we saw Sierra was having none of that, especially when he was tossing her name around. We all know nobody likes to be named as the decoy boot. Nobody wants their name brought up at all. I say we all know that, but apparently Savage. So, you know, it's just too easy once your name is out there. It's too easy to get flipped on. And then another thing is, sometimes when your name is brought up as the decoy, you have to start wondering, am I the actual target? And they're just telling me I'm the decoy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he could have set this up and then told Spencer, well, Spencer, we're just, you know, we're going to put your name out there as the decoy, but we're really targeting Sierra. You don't know which it is.
That's true. But I do think the idea behind the decoy is to not raise suspicion with that person. So by telling Spencer that he could be the decoy, I feel like he would get just as suspicious as Sierra ultimately ended up getting. Like, I think true. There might have been some concern that maybe Spencer had the idol.
Ah, okay. I mean, that's true. But the point is, yeah, whenever you name someone as the decoy, they're going to get suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Savage starts ordering people around and just telling her that she would be the decoy boot, that was, I would say, 155,000% wrong.
Right.
And, you know, in his mind, I'm sure he saw no problem with it at the time. Then again, I'm not sure he ever thinks he does anything wrong in his own mind. But his ally ended up paying the price.
Sticking with don't be too much of a threat, do you think any part of this was Wu getting picked off right before the merge because people feared him winning individual immunity?
I don't think so, because I don't think they know it's right before the merge. I will talk about that a little bit later, but I just don't think that that was really in their minds. I think instead they were looking at, okay, Savage is the problem. Who's the solution? No, Wu's the solution. And, you know, Sierra immediately said on Twitter that it was because Abby Maria had major beef with Wu. And she later clarified that it wasn't Abby Maria actually calling the shots, but rather that Sierra knew that she could pull Abby in if a vote was going against Wu, but she wasn't sure Abby Maria would turn on Savage. So it sounds like they wisely used the information they had about Wu, which he had told Cass, as I mentioned earlier, to bring Abby Maria to their side. It sounds to me like they didn't even bother suggesting Savage to Abby Maria because they believed she might be loyal to Savage. And really, if that's the case, if they took all this information and they made those moves, it really is a brilliant move, in my opinion. They didn't set off the Abby bomb, and they were able to use her in the way they wanted. And, you know, I have to admit, I was not as high on Sierra as others were coming into the season, but I really like what I've seen so far, and I think she made a great turnaround move here.
So you like the move overall for Sierra and for Cass, or only for Sierra?
I like it for both. I think that it really does put them both in a good position going forward. And then, you know, as for Wu, again, back to his 11 things on CBS.com, he did realize that eventually that they voted him out because he was close with Savage and Tasha, who are also tight with the other original Bayonne members. So even he admitted it was the right decision for Cass and Sierra to make.
Rule number 7 is vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Are we at the then the strong part? The first, then the strong?
Well, you know, I've actually, this is the point that I debated in my own mind more than anything else, perhaps, since the vote. In a normal season, you generally wait until the merge or very close to it before you start voting out the strong. You know, so that goes back to your question a little while ago. Now, they've already been through 2 swaps. I just don't think they're expecting a merge this close. And so in theory, if they have to go to another immunity challenge, they would want to vote out someone weak. But this isn't a normal season. And honestly, I'm not entirely sure who would be considered weak, except maybe Sierra was worried that Savage would consider her weak, which, you know, goes back to why was my name being thrown around? The thing is, there were other more pressing issues that occurred. The players that were involved in kind of overthrowing Savage, they weren't worried about what happens right this second. They were worried about the future. And those thoughts overrode any worries about weak versus strong in this particular case. It is interesting to me that the TV production made it appear to come down to a decision made by Cass. You know, would she take revenge on Spencer or make the strategic play against Wu? And you had asked, you know, was this the right decision for Cass? And we saw Cass questioning whether to be calm Cass or chaos Cass. When I originally watched it, I thought she was suggesting that voting out Spencer would be the chaos version because she would be doing it for the wrong reasons, the reason of spite. And it would cause chaos in her new mini alliance, especially with Abby Maria. So I then heard everyone talking about it and saying it was the other way. I went back and rewatched it. Okay. I totally interpreted that wrong. She actually meant it would be chaos for Savage's alliance.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, I actually still side with my initial view. Chaos Cass would do something just to stir things up. That is chaos, doing things for random reasons. Voting out Spencer would have been doing it for a random reason, just because she wanted some sort of vengeance against him. And calmly thinking through what her best move was for the game, that's what she did. I think whatever she might have thought she was doing, I think she was being calm, Cass. And I was happy to see her do that.
Then in terms of looking for the hidden immunity idol, did Wu do whatever it takes to get hidden idols, or we have no idea?
I'd say we have no idea.
Okay.
You know, there was no one for him to follow around in ninja stealth mode that we saw. He didn't steal anyone's pants to find a clue. So, you know, I'd say that was just not part of the equation here.
Okay, so we have no idea about Wu, but considering that he was one of the old school shelter people and not one of the beach people, we'll assume he wasn't going crazy looking for idols.
Right, that would be my presumption as well.
Yeah. He also made a pretty big case during the Kaguya-on Final Tribal Council that he deserved to win over Tony because he didn't have to use idols. So he might have some sort of bias against people that use the idols. Anyway, so David, now if we put it all together, why do you feel like Wu lost?
Well, I'd say that, you know, going through it all, we have our answers. He was not actively playing the game in any strategic sense. Rather than scheming and plotting, he was giving away information to a person he considered a friend. He was a very loyal number for Savage and Tasha and their allies, and that group, as a whole, posed a threat to the continuing existence of those who were on the outside. So Sierra and Cass weren't able to chop the head off the snake, but they could take out one of its fangs, and that is why Wu lost.
All right. So now looking ahead to this upcoming week, do you have any sort of feel on how this merge is going to go?
Well, you know, Steven pointed out in his blog, there have been 7 different tribes already. And each of those tribes have had people guaranteeing that this is the one true alliance. So when they all come together, I think all hell's going to break loose. In a web confessional, Tasha said she's still looking to leverage Abby Maria. She was thankful for the rest from Abby Maria, but you know, she was still looking to use her again. I don't think this one vote against Wu will change that, since Tasha's the only one still standing who's been able to tame the beast to this point. I think she'll pull Abby back into the fold, but then the big question is, who else is in that fold? On the other side, or maybe not on the other side. It's hard to say. I think Steven will stay tight with Jeremy and Kimmy. But what I don't know is what will happen when Savage tries to realign with Jeremy and finds that this horrible, immoral person, Steven, is tied so closely to him.
Mm-hmm.
My suspicion is there will be a break between Jeremy and Savage at that point.
Over Steven?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my
God.
He
will be the one who tears up the family.
See, I don't think that Jeremy is that married to Steven, because if you read between the lines on how frustrated Jeremy has been with Steven's challenge performance, I feel like maybe if Andrew is pushing on no Steven, I don't feel like Jeremy's going to really stick his neck out for him.
Yeah, but how many times have we heard Jeremy say he wants to be Steven's JT? You know, and all the coaching he's done of Steven, the encouragement, I really do think he's attached to Steven. Just as he's using Joe as a meat shield, he has Steven as, I don't know, a brain shield, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, and he can only do that if he keeps Steven around.
Yeah, well, he can't keep Joe and Steven around, though.
No, no. And, you know, certainly eyes will turn to Joe, not just the female eyes that we've seen, but as far as, you know, okay, when is the time to get rid of him? And as all these mini alliances start to, you know, disperse and reform with everybody there, Joe's going to have to do some serious scheming to make sure he stays around.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be a fun merge, because there's like all these people that you say, okay, well, this person's going to reconnect with this person. There's like one other person who's like, well, actually, no, they can't because of this person. They're trying to get that person out. And so even like the Abby Maria thing, which I think is going to be so fascinating. Where is Abby Maria going to go? Is she going to stick with her new Cass and Sierra thing? Is she going to go back to the Savage thing? And I do think that for sure we're getting a Cass versus Tasha confrontation coming into this merge.
That would be fun to watch.
Yes, I think so. I think so. And Spencer caught in the middle would be very fun.
Yeah.
Because really, where is he going to go? Is he going back to Tasha? He's got to stick with Cass, right?
Well, I think what we've seen with Spencer is he doesn't got to stick with anyone. But I think he would be wise to stick with Cass. And, you know, who would have thought before the game that we would ever say that?
Yeah.
I do think Tasha's going to win Abby Maria back. I think she's going to. You know, this was a one-time thing targeting Wu, and Abby Maria will go back with Tasha and Savage as long as Tasha keeps her center, doesn't go off on Abby Maria. You know, like, how could you turn against Savage? You're supposed to be loyal to him. If she can restrain herself and not say anything like that, then Abby Maria should be fine. If she says one bad word to Abby Maria, then all bets are off.
I'm going to put you really on the spot now. Who goes home first vote after the merge?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I still don't know the answer.
It's almost impossible to predict.
Part of me thinks it could actually be Abby Maria, because if she can't pick a side, they may do to her what you did to Christy and what was done to Dolly. But I think that someone is going to think they have a handle on her. And instead, they're going to go after bigger threats, whether that's someone like Savage or someone like Joe. I think those are your top two possibilities.
All right. We will see this Wednesday night when we get back into it. Survivor Know-It-Alls at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. And then we'll do our whole big Survivor recap and exit interview, all that stuff coming up on Thursday. All right, David, what's the hashtag?
The hashtag. I think since Wu was not the head of the snake, he was just a fang for Savage. We'll say Savage Fang.
Savage Fang. Okay, good stuff. You can follow David on Twitter. He is at David Bloomberg. And we've got so much coming up this upcoming week. Got a really fun recap show coming up this week. I'm going to speak with Trish Hegarty from Survivor Cagayan. You think she'll have a lot to say about these Cagayan people heading into the merge?
No, nothing at all. Although I heard that she might have been sending lots of texts back and forth during the last episode.
Yeah, and it seems like that she was really happy to see Wu go home this week. So we will talk about that with her. So I think that's going to be a really fun interview, because we know she doesn't really hold anything back, I don't think.
No, probably not.
So So that's going to be really fun coming up on Thursday. All right. So everybody, thanks for checking out the podcast. We got so much more coming. Make sure you subscribe to Rob's podcast. Rob has a website.com/iTunes. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.